mean, right, that,
that place looks worse than before you cleaned it.
I know, I'm a little nervous about that.
What happened with old... Okay, tonight's shiur is going to deal with Yesod HaShishi, which is Nevuah. Now, the first five, which we discussed in the previous shiurim, to know that there is a God, the God that is one, the one God that is utterly incorporeal, the one God that is the creator of all that exists, and the one God that is holy and corporeal, that is the creator of all that exists, is the only being that is fit to be worshipped. So Jewish people have no particular claim on those first five. Those are five propositions that every person should believe. Now, the law of the Jewish people entails these first five yesodos. Right? And he writes before, Ikari Tarseno Tahora Visodoseha, the fundamentals of our Torah, plus eight more. But we'll see, the Rav Mishnah Torah distinguishes between the first five and the subsequent eight. So tonight we're going into what can be called the middle group of Ikarim, and that begins with prophecy, Nevuah. Let's read Yesod HaShishi. Vayesod HaShishi HaNevuah. Vehu Ladas, to know. Shezeh Hamino Enoshi, the human species, Ye Sheimatsu Bo Ishem Bale Kishronos Ufutachim Ma'od. Rambam was not an intellectually egalitarian. He was an elitist. Some people are smarter and greater than others. And some people are so impressive, they have really achieved a great perfection. The tiskonei nafsham ad shemekabeles tsuras haseichel. What does that mean? The medieval Aristotelians had this notion of something called either the active intellect or the agent intellect. In other words, when God created the universe, but there are like 10 hierarchies of intellects connecting the planets, connecting the spheres that are going around the earth. And the lowest one is what's called the Seichel HaPoel. Seichel HaPoel is generally translated in works as active intellect. And that overflows knowledge to people. Now, so the Adshem HaKabelas Tzuras HaSeichel, and you get like a lock-in. You want to know how Nevuah works. V'yeschaber Oso HaSeichel HaEnoshi B'Seichel HaPoel. The material human intellect, right, which has the ability to grab essences, right? Now, as we see, how does knowledge work? We see, for example, different animals. Then you get a concept, something called dog. Dog is the category of, you know, the creatures I see here, the creatures I see there, right? You get a concept of universals. Rambam, of course, writes universals exist only in the mind, right? There's no, as opposed to Plato that says there is the ideal dog, and all dogs in this universe are just imitations of the ideal dog. Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam is, he's a nominalist. In other words, that the thing called dog is a name. It's a name that we give to a group of items, and we categorize them under one essence. So here, there are chairs, right?
They're essential.
We name them, right?
Artificial.
Okay, right. But the point here, right, and they are conventional, right? That's called nominalists. They're only names. In other words, during the medieval period, there were the nominalists versus the realists. Realists were, it's exactly the opposite of what we would call it. Realists said, no, there is something ontologically called dog, right? And all the dogs in this world are imitations of that great dog in the sky that is the perfect archetype. So that was Plato's view. Rambam's view is not like that. But Ram's view is that we, through our brain, can grab essence. And the smarter we are, the more essences we grab. And sometimes you can understand tremendous facts about nature. And I can just see it. E equals mc squared. You see relations and you see how the whole universe is put together. So it is possible for a human being to hook into the active intellect, Seichel HaPoel, V'ye'etzel Aleihem Imenu Atzilos Shefa. This, of course, is from Pasuk Baloscha, V'yotzalta, right? In other words, somehow that the spirit of prophecy rested on those 70 men. V'eileheim Hanaviyim. Okay, so in other words, though, it is a prophecy is possible. Before we even discuss Moshe Rabbeinu, before we even discuss Judaism, we have to say the idea of prophecy, that we can somehow just see everything. You know, the Rambam writes elsewhere that there are different sorts of knowledge. There's the knowledge getting increments, step by step, kav l'kav, tzav l'tzav, and suddenly you just, you know, there's again, like E equals MC squared, you just see the whole picture. Now here, the Rambam would say you tap into the Seichel HaPoel, you get it. V'zoi anuvua, v'zeu inyana. Now he said, I'm not explaining the whole thing here. We will read momentarily Mishnah Torah. Ubir ha'yesod hazeh b'shlemus yerach ma'od. I can't do that. V'eima torosenu pir kol yesod mehem ubir darche yidiyosah. I can't discuss exactly how nuvua works, because then I'll have to give a whole treatise on science. Again, the Rambam understands that essentially, maybe one slight difference we'll get into, Nevuah is essentially a natural phenomenon. Vafisha zeu koleles kolam adaim. Ella, naski ram bederach hoda bilvad, ubsuke atara meidim nevuas, or nevuas nevim rabim. Okay, now, let me read Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Zayin. Similar. Miyesodei Hadas is one of the fundamentals of religion. Leida to know, Sha'el menabei es bnei ha'adam, that God can invest human beings with prophecy. Now it's very fascinating to compare the beginning of Perek Zayin with the Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, right? And the difference in the terminology of the Rambam. Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Rambam starts by saying, Yesod ha'yesodus v'amud ha'chochmos, beginning of knowledge. We pointed out this fits in with the idea that the Rambam says if a non-Jew accepts Shemus bnei Noach just out of his own intellect, he's not from Chasidei Umos Olam, but he is Mechachmei Umos Olam. So I think it's pretty clear he's contrasting Amud HaChochmos with Miyasodei Hadas. Every religion means revealed religion, right? Religion means that there is some access to knowledge which is literally supernatural. Moshe Rabbeinu got b'nevuah, the Torah from God. So to get that step by step, first we have to accept the principle as a scientific principle that nevuah is possible. If there's no nevuah, there is no religion in the Rambam's definition of the term. Now, who is acceptable for prophecy? So Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, Vein ha-Nevuah Chola, Ela al-Chocham, Godol b'Chochma. A very learned man. Gibor b'Midosa. The Rambam, of course, is not explaining the word Gibor as simply, you know, biceps. In other words, he is in total control of his appetites. V'lo yehe yitzro miskaber Allah b'davar ba'olam. Elohu miskaber b'dayto yitzro tamid. Right? And his intellect is in control of his appetites. V'udal baldea rechava nechona. Very wise. In the Rambam La'am, published by Rabinowitz, and it was explained by someone named Rubinstein, he has an interesting idea. Baldea rechava nechona, he says, again, logical. And he's a straight thinker. By the way, the Rambam here does not mention, but in Shmona Prakim, the Rambam says the word usher. See, the Gemara says that Nevuah is only Chal, son who is Chacham, Gibor, and usher. So the Rambam, of course, interprets that in Shmona Prakim, al pi Pirkei Avos. Gibor doesn't mean biceps, it means Gibor Midosev. And usher doesn't mean rich, it means Sameach Bechelko. So he has a certain amount of equanimity. He's not just trying to amass more money. So therefore, he has a certain equanimity, so he's able to think about spiritual matters. Okay, so Dalchan Ma'od. So for whatever reason, he doesn't mention Ashir here, but it's clear that that's how he interprets it. Adam Shehu Memula B'chol Amidos Ha'elu. So he's already morally perfect. Shalem Begufo. Now here, the Ram does, according to the Ram La'am, say that his body is in a good proportion. Now, the Rambam does understand, it's unfair, but say if somebody has, let's say, a disease, so much of his being will be spent fighting the disease, he can't get up to becoming a prophet. Adam shumamula chalmino sa'elu sholem begufo she'kones lapardes. We discussed that. That means, of course, studying physics and metaphysics. V'yamashech ba'osam anyonim hagdolim harachokim. Rachokim here means not far physically, means complex. Ideas that most people cannot understand. V'tielo dea nechona lahavin lahasig. So, intellectual advance. Moral perfection. V'miskadesh baholech uporesh midarche klal ha'am. He's not hanging out with the bums. There's another way to say that. He's always working on himself. And that this just doesn't mean things like money and illegal sexual relationships, but also refers to people that always want to win fights, like avas and nitzuach, things like running after kavod, running after nitzuach. That's also going to distract a person, right? Who was it? It was not very impressive. I once heard on TV, Premier Elliot Trudeau from Canada. Very boastful. He says, well, when I was a teenager, I never lost a fist fight. And then I was an adult, I never lost a debate. Okay, but again, like you saw, you know, instead of saying, well, you know, I had these ideas for Canada, it was all an issue of fight. I've met people like that in my life. Everything is always an issue of nitzuach. There's no notion of an idea for the sake of an idea. So that's morally inferior, right? Not just to say, for the sake of nitzuach. So it's like you clear away everything else. So you're not running after money, not running after power, you're not running after the appetitive parts of that a human being run after. So what do you have? Pnuya tami lamala. Now you're able to think of essences of the world, of physics and metaphysics, and you're able to receive the overflow coming from on high. Here the Rambam, remarkably, even in Mishnah Torah, uses very poetic language coming up. Kshura tachas ha-kisei. Amazing. Obviously, kisei ha-kavod, the Rambam is the first one to tell you more nevuchim, we don't take that literally, but it means, again, like from the act of intellect. Lahavin ba'osan hatsuros hakadoshos hatahoros umistakel b'chachmosa shel kadosh baruch hu kula. You understand the whole universe. You understand all the spheres. Mitzura rishona ad tabur haaretz. That's the whole universe. V'yodea mehen godlo. So you just understand the universe. It's again, so you see the relations of physics and metaphysics. So what happens now? Miyad. This word miyad is actually difficult. I'll come back to it after I finish this Rambam. Miyad ruach hakodesh shora alav. There is some electricity, if you will, coming down from high. Uba'esha tanuach alav haruach, when this new spirit comes upon him, tis'arev nash m'malas ha'malachim m'nekroim ishim. Now remember, Ram doesn't believe that angels are creatures with white wings. Angels are separate intellect. So you've gotten rid of, you've extirpated your bodily passions, and your intellect now is able to receive something. He's not the same. Rather, what is he? Ella, shenis ala mala shar b'nei adam achachomim. A navi is greater than a chacham. Koshe nemar b'shol v'his nabisa imav nepach lish acher. There's a whole discussion, the more, you know, about the issue of chacham adif minavi. At least this Rambam, forgetting about any other Rambams, would say a navi is greater than a chacham. But the classification is cumulative and not taxonomical. No, it's not that a chacham has this and a navi has that. A navi has chachma, and he gets this. Okay, now I want to discuss one of the problems in the word miyad. So the Rambam Nevuchim says there are three theories of prophecy. There is an Aristotelian theory of prophecy. There is the theory which he says the Hamon of the Jews, and he says many of the Chachamim hold. And then there's the right theory, which is his. Aristotle says exclusively that prophecy is a natural phenomenon. So obviously you wouldn't have the specific Jewish content which we read about Shura Tachas HaKiseh, but that there is a way which someone who has divested himself of moral, you know, the passions of your appetites and is morally perfect and is intellectually capable can just apprehend the whole universe. Okay. The Torah is exactly the opposite. It says, Torah, let me be more precise, as interpreted by the Hamon, says no. God simply makes someone a prophet whom he pleases. There's, you know, he can make the most foolish, backward person on earth a prophet. So, the Rambam strongly polemicized against this view. And it always seems to me that he kills two birds with one stone. He says that it is in reality, in truth, as impossible to make a ignorant person a prophet as it is for a donkey to talk. Okay, so he's also hinting that another parsha has to be understood, you know, metaphorically or in a dream. But the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim, he excuse me. Maruchim, he says, there is, however, one difference between what I say and what Aristotle says. The Ram this totally disputes that an ignorant person can be a prophet. And he also disputes that a immoral person can become a prophet. That's why in the Mor Nevuchim, he downgrades Bilam. You know, against the Chazal, let's say, you know, L'kom Yisroch Moshe Ova, but Umos Olam comes at Bilam. No, God forbid. Bilam was a very low level seer. And the Rambam writes, Mor Nevuchim, how you have different levels. But he says, what God can do is, even if somebody has attained the intellectual and moral preparation to be a prophet, God can withhold prophecy. So that's the one element where it differs than the Aristotelian view. So, the question has been raised, you know, always with an eye out for some type of subversive hidden meaning of the Rambam. Leo Strauss says, aha, you see the Rambam here says miyad. So miyad seems to indicate the, you know, straight Aristotelian view. You know, it just happens minela. If you have these intellectual, moral qualities, shine, you become a prophet. So I could answer two ways. One is new. In other words, but it doesn't the content of the prophecy, you know, as long as you understand the idea of, again, the will of God, and the will of God has the issues of specification, it doesn't really matter. You know, the miyad is not so. Miyad might not be so important. Lemaisa, I believe that Charles Manekin, he has this idea that the will of God, that notion as a key to answering problems in the Rambam's theology, becomes more and more prevalent as the Rambam went on in his life and wrote his works. So maybe the Rambam actually changed his mind. That's okay. The thinker's allowed to do that. There's nothing pernicious, nothing devious, you know. So one way is to say that, yeah, maybe Taka the Rambam changed his mind. Here in Perish Mishnayis, the Mishnah Torah, it was Miyad. And then later on, more in Avuchim, he added that caveat that God could withhold prophecy. Alternatively, he could say something else. The Rambam here is not discussing how his position differs than the Aristotelian position. So he doesn't have to tell you that, oh, by the way, I believe that God can withhold prophecy from somebody who is ro'i l'kach. So if that is the answer, this last answer gives even stronger than Manekin. Instead of saying he just changed his mind, maybe here also he would believe that the Rambam believed that God could withhold prophecy. He just didn't bother mentioning it. He's not discussing here how I differ from them. So he wants to understand how prophecy works. Okay.
Yeah, but by putting the yad in,
So
the second answer doesn't. It doesn't hold water.
What I just said now?
Yeah, because second answer is he's not talking about that.
Right.
Okay, so you're not talking about that now. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But by putting miyad, in other words, if he wouldn't have had miyad in there,
yeah,
then one can say, okay, he didn't talk about that detail. But once you put miyad in there, you can't say, oh, but you're not talking about that detail.
No, but he's talking about how does prophecy work. He's not talking about the conditions where prophecy doesn't work. In other words, he doesn't have to deal with every... Alright, I mean, I think it's plausible. He doesn't have to deal with every single scenario. In other words, how could it be that X, Y, Z was such a super genius and a morally perfect person, didn't get prophecy? Okay, so you say that God arbitrarily withheld it.
Exceptions to the rule.
Yeah, okay. Right, so you don't have to discuss that. But the other way, like according to the Mahalach of Charles Manekin, is to say that Ram actually changed his mind. That maybe at this point he did say miyad, but at a later stage in his life, in the Mor Nevuchim, he then wanted to say
the will of God.
Yeah.
Miyad doesn't mean once you fulfill all these criteria, then immediately when you check off the box,
that's what we're discussing. Right. So that leads to what I said a minute ago. In other words, magic happens. Miyad, if God does, you know, that means God can still put a halt on the check. That's the question. What does miyad mean? So, I mean, you read the words, you could, just now I'll play devil's advocate and say the other side. You could have understood it, miyad, ruach hakodesh, shora, olav. And prophecy is 100% a natural phenomenon. You could have read it that way. If you do read it that way, then that really is in keeping with Aristotle's view of prophecy.
Because at that point it's natural.
Yeah, right.
Because the sufficient conditions exist.
Right, and that's it. Right, that's it. Prophecy, in other words, prophecy is a... It's a metaphysical fact of the universe. It's a fact. There is prophecy, and if you,
that's not what it sounds like.
What does miyad mean? Okay, so you have. Okay, so I'm saying
it's not like technical. Like it's not like a mathematical.
Okay. So what is? I agree.
Magic happens at some point. We don't know. What
right. Okay. Okay.
Because this is religious.
Right. We don't know. Okay. It is religious, but whatever it is. The data is the words around them here. We have to extract here. No, this is how it happens. So we have to go one of several ways. Either you can go your way, which I certainly am in sympathy of. That's what I told Rabbi Ozer a few minutes ago. That he simply is not discussing that it that it always will happen. He is not discussing cases where God withholds the ability to prophesize, right? Or maybe he is. So it's ambiguous. But again, I still don't believe there's anything pernicious in the fact that the Rambam here says miyad.
Strauss takes these three letters.
Yeah, miyad. Miyad Charles, he didn't believe in a darn thing.
That doesn't sound correct.
Right, of course not.
There's a problem.
Of course not.
But the
you don't have to convince me that again, Leo Strauss, like we discussed before, Leo Strauss's interpretation of the Rambam failed the test that Karl Popper, the late great scientist, had for all scientific theories, which is falsifiability. In other words, there is no way, once you assume Strauss's premise that the Rambam was, God forbid, Shagetz, and he didn't believe in anything, so any other proof, the Rambam put up two new proofs of the existence of God, that's part of the deception. Right? So in other words, as Herbert Davidson said, according to Strauss, the Mora Nebuchadnezzar is the craziest book ever written. Someone who spent his whole career putting together that you can synthesize Torah and philosophy, put it all together, but really he didn't believe in the synthesis. He believed it's all false. Yishtaka davar yomer, right? And it was all a bluff. So you show all the things that, Mr. Fox and many other people showed, how the Rambam puts it all together. Oh, that's all part of the bluff. There's no way, you could say that. You can't, right? But therefore, I think Davidson said what he called the thoroughgoing esotericism fails the test of any theory which is susceptible to a conversation. Okay, but anyway, we should be aware. I believe that we should be aware of the issues. One of the issues is in the Rambam. What does miyad mean? Okay, so we have different views here. Let me read another Rambam here. I read in Perek Vav in Mishnah Torah. This will lead to the Yesod Hashvi, which of course is Moshe Rabbeinu. So first of all, he says every Navi is on a different madrega. In other words, they are literally individuals. In other words, like we have, Ram divides reality into domain, someach, chai, and medaber. So, medaber is all human beings. Then there is navi, but every navi is unique. Hanaviyah malas malas heim, kmo sheyesh b'chochma chochom godol mechavero, kach b'nevuah, navi godol minavi. Right, and there's a psikta that says kolech vech lefi kocho. V'kulam, now here he's beginning to make statements which will not apply to Moses, will not apply to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'kulam ein roin mara nevu ela b'chalom mechezion laila. The visions that they see. Oh, so now we're already getting, so in other words, what does that mean they get from the active intellect? They suddenly see a vision. But that's only balaila, in a dream. O bayom acha shetipol aleim tardema. Shkamo shenemar. This is an account of other prophets besides Moses. B'mare elav esvada b'chalom adaber bo. V'kulam kishem misnabim. Remember, it's in a dream. Their bodies start to shake. Evreya mizdadim v'koach haguf koshel v'shtonoseim mistarfos. It's like there's like an earthquake going on, so the whole body is losing control. V'tosher hadas penuya lahavin mashetire. Right. In other words, remember this is like an eruption from on high through the active intellect. See, the Rambam is trying to somehow break down. We believe in prophecy. What is it? So it means a diminution of all the bodily functions. Koshnema be Avraham v'nei ema chashecha gedola nofeles alav. Avraham Avinu. Okay, this, by the way, is why the Rambam, for example, in the Mor Nevuchim, in Parshas Vayera, says that the whole episode with the three angels was a dream. Because you can't, according to the Rambam, you cannot see angels. Right? There's no such thing. So, either you reinterpret the word, in some cases, he reinterprets the word malach to mean navi, like we had several weeks ago, right? When I took a navi, took a malach, took us from Mitzrayim, their malach means Moshe Rabbeinu. Other times where malach still means a angel, so the Rambam says that didn't happen in real time. That happened in a dream. Okay, let's go on. Then what happens? So the overflow, the act of intellect, sets up something in the mind of the recipient. He will see something which is to be explained metaphorically. Hadavarim shemodim lanavi b'mari hanavua derech moshel modim lo umiyad yechalkek b'libo pisron hamoshel b'mari hanavua v'yeda mahu. Right? In other words, you'll see something and you know it is supposed to represent something profound in the universe, and you'll immediately chop what it means. Kamo hasulam shiro Yaakov Avinu. Right? What is the ladder? Umalachim olim yardim bo. Now, by the way, Sarah Klein Braslavi wrote an interesting article on this topic. The Rambam understands the sulam is the paradigm of a nevuah. But what does it represent? So in three different places, the Rambam gives three different interpretations of it. Okay, so actually, it's very interesting. In Mishnah Torah, he gives the classic, what I'll call, nationalistic interpretation of the Sulam as it pertains to the Jewish people. In the Mor Nevuchim, right, he gives a personal, philosophic interpretation. Nothing to do with the Jewish people per se. But let's read now in the Mishnah Torah. Fuaya mashal lamalchius v'shibudan. Right? That is straight out of Reishis Rabbah, because the Rambam adds in the Mor Nevuchim that there's a tradition. How many rungs were there on the ladder? Four. Amazing. So that's a tradition we have in terms of that's in the Midrash also. So the four angels going up and down, he says, represent, it's like a suddenly Yaakov saw a panorama of the entire Jewish history, that there will be four nations which will subjugate the Jews, and the Jews will be delivered from each of these four empires. Yeah. And then also, the Chayol Shira Yecheskel, Hasir Nafuach, we just read that in the Haftorah, now for the 3 weeks. The Sir Nafuach caused the bubbling pot in the Makel Shaked, the Ammon Shira Yirmiyah, that's to say that, you know, bubbling pot is going to be a disaster soon, and then coming from the north, right? Mitzafon to Patach Ra'ah, Vamagila Shira Yecheskel, Va'efa Shira Zachariah, all these ideas, Chayin Shar Hanavim. Yesh mehem, omrim hamashal pisronot kamo elu. He says sometimes in Nach, they mention the vision and they mention what it represents. Other times, yesh mehem, omrim pisronot bilvad. V'u pamim omrim hamashal bilvad. V'lo pisronot. So you have all three possibilities, but we get the idea. The idea in all these cases is there is a vision. The vision represents something, right? Okay. Then the Rambam goes on here. So we'll read this now. Tomorrow night, God's help, we'll see more about Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to reiterate some of these distinctions in when he talks about Moshe. All these rules don't apply to Moshe. But calling the Vim, besides, it's only at night, it's only in the dream, besides that they lose all physical control of themselves, it's also, they can't receive the overflow from the active intellect whenever they want it. They have to prepare themselves and get into a state of psychic readiness. Kol ha-Navim emes nabim kolesha yitzu, ela mechavnim daitam v'yoshvim smechim v'tovei leib u'misbodedim. I took a course with Professor Fenton. he is a big expert on the Rambam's family, the Rambam's son, Avram ben Rambam. So this idea of his bodidus was very key in the thought of the Sufi mystics in Egypt. You know, you just go and have, I think what in Arabic is called a halva, and suddenly you have a certain amount of serenity, and that's when you get it. So that's what's going on here. That's quoted in Sheina Navua Shara Lo Mitoch Atzvus, Lo Mitoch Atzvus El Mitoch Simcha. Simcha does not mean, you know, like dan, you know, like the wild, crazed dancing that you see sometimes at chasanas. It means like a very calm, serene feeling. Lafikach. Now, you can use music to get someone there. Lafikach Bnei Anavim. Bnei, of course, means the students. Lifnehem, Neva v'tov v'chaliv v'chinor v'em avakshim ha'navua v'zeel shenemar v'em v'snavim k'lo mahachim v'derech ha'navua ad she'yinavu'u k'mo sh'ta omer ploni misgadel. Now, can you become in training for a Navi? According to the Rambam, yes.
Didn't Shaul have that play music in?
Yeah, that's what. Well, that's exactly it, right? Right. That also was also to get rid of the depression, right? The classic pasuk that they quote elsewhere is from Elisha, that Vayakim and again, and then suddenly he gets the feeling. Elu shem avakshin l'snabe heman ikra'im b'nei hanaviyim. Now here, the Rambam will seem to fill in the blanks, what he didn't say in Halacha Aleph, and therefore, once you read this Rambam, the upcoming Rambam will have another way to explain Halacha Aleph. The afal pi shem mechavnim daitam, efshar shetisha shchin aleihem, the efshar shalotishre. Now, it is true, the Rambam here is talking about the B'nai Hanaviyim, right? So, you see, if someone is obstinate, you can say, well, that's only, you're in the lower level, either sometimes you could get it, and sometimes you can't get it, but the higher level will be automatic. The other way to go, which, you know, I would like to do, is like what I said before in the last Teretz, that this modifies them, once you see this, this modifies the Miyad. In other words, it's possible it'll happen, but maybe not always. Okay, now.
But they're not happy, you're not sufficiently prepared.
Right, so here also, they're. So, what I read just now.
Yeah.
So okay, right.
The Miyad is totally. The Navi's not sufficiently prepared.
Okay, so in other words, you want. That will be the other way. That will be the other way to go. I know, for example, let's say I want to read the citation from the Moreh Nevuchim, because when the Rambam mentions that sometimes God could withhold, in that whole context, he mentions Baruch Beneria, who was a Talmud of Yirmiyahu. So it might be too clever to make that distinction. Let me read the citation from the Moreh Nevuchim. This is from the Ibn Tibbon translation. The main point. Shal shteas b'nevuah, rishoni das ha psa'im ha ma'aminim. The fools will just say, okay, God could make, Mickey Mouse a Navi. There's absolutely no moral requirement. Ki kol ish, im chacham, im sakol. Wise men or fool. Melumod obar. A learned man or a boor. Im ach yeshbo, they'll make him a little bit of a chassid. Im ach yeshbo tzas minidas hachassidus v'tikun amidos yochel lios davik shivcha bo Hashem l'ashad lov shchinaso. That's one. That he says it's wrong. By the way, the Rashba already asks, how in the world does the Rambam interpret the case of Manoach, the father of Shimshon? That's a hard question according to the Rambam. I'll come back to that later. Hashniya, he does a philosophim ma'omim, ki anavua hi shleimus tivis. It is natural perfection. Vim ada musha mchola malas asichlios amidosios, v'chone gam b'kor hamadame hadarosh, he has both the perfection of the intellect and the imagination, az behechrech hu navi. The EF Shah Shalo Yinabe. It's impossible for him not to be a Nafi. Hadea Shlishis is us. He das Torasenu in the middle. The Igar Emunasenu. It's essentially like the philosophers with one caveat. He maskima mukhola das a philosophim and a gel akshara haruchanis. Avi cholekas a love bazeh. Sheim kol hakshara so, with all the preparation, right? That means he has achieved moral and intellectual perfection. Ein hechrech adayin sheyia linavi vahakol toli b'ritzon Hashem. Now, what's his example? Hallo Baruch Beneria, Talmido shel Yirmiyahu hanavi hoya muchan umuchshar lekach. So, in other words, if you want to read what the Rambam writes here, in other words, you prepare, but even though you got to the level, God can still withhold it. Vashem mona mimenu shefa nevu aso. Vu kovel misonen vani yogati van chasi unucha lo matzasi ve'ei menucha ele nevuah. Why can't there be another? Shem ha'atanach leim ha'ruach. Vashem heishiv lo biyad Yirmiyahu. In other words, okay, he's quoting out of Mechilta here. Ein anaviyim istam elbus chus Yisrael halamaditosh and avuot tluyah b'ratzon Hashem. Then a davar tivi kedas afilosofim. So, in other words, if you want to put, so no, it is still possible to make the distinction I think you wanted to make, that maybe bnei anaviyim efsha yes, efsha not. Because they're not on that level yet, right? Nevuah mamish, it should have been miyad, and then you have to give whatever answer you want to give. I'm changing his mind, whatever it is. But from the Rambam's use of Baruch ben Neria as an example of the case where someone cannot be a Navi because God just withholds it, we might, I think it's certainly reasonable and plausible to say that in Halacha, hey, it's the example of where God can withhold it. And then the second teretz I gave before now emerges with more plausibility. Okay. Finally, let's just do a little more. Kol advarim she'amarnu hem derech l'chol hanavim harishonim v'achronim. All Navim were like that. Chutz imoshe Rabbeinu rabon shel kol hanavim. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, is the one exception. All the rules don't apply to Moshe. Okay, so I'm going to skip what he talks about with Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll go to the Rambam Perek Zayin L'Chazayin, where he talks issues about Navi. Go like this. The Rambam says when a person gets that overflow, depending on how strong he is, he would have a stronger desire to spread the good news, which we of course interpret in the Jewish sense. Hanavi efsher shetia nevuah sala atzmo milvah, just to understand what's going on. Laharchiv libol hosiv daito ad sheyed mashloh hayodemi osam advarim hagdolim. In other words, maybe God's just help him understand E=mc², to understand that, you know, the speed of light is the material property of the universe, and everything follows from that. The efsher, that he, I guess it's all depend upon how, what he feels that God is like sending him, that he should be sent to the people of the land to improve their behavior. The efsher she yeshulach la'am me'amei ha'aretz o la'an she ira mamlacha. It says levonein here, which is to teach them bina, to improve the intellectual quality of the people. Levoneno samholdia mayasu o le lemonami masim haraim shebidehem. Okay. Then the Rambam goes into the issue of mosim, which we are not going to get into here. Yeah. Let me conclude with another very interesting topic, which has to do with, I alluded to a few minutes ago, about how the psukim in the Torah seem to imply that there were some people that were not good and still were Nevi'im. So, skipping Bilam, let's discuss the case, let's say, of Manoach, the father of Shimshon. He was a very simple person. You know what's going on? Oh, he saw God. You know, his wife, seen the Chazal already say, he wasn't too smart. His wife knew much more than he did. So the Ramban already criticizes the Rambam, for example, his theory of Nevuah, says that's not what the Torah says. Don't give me your rationalistic considerations. The Tanakh is against you. So the Rashba on this issue, and really some other issues, is slightly more rationalistic than the Ramban. He's not where the Rambam is, but he's somewhere in between. So he tries to have a compromised position. And to explain that, first let me quote a parallel Rashba about Matan Torah. Remember, the Rambam's position is that in Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael said they couldn't get there, right? They were slaves out of Egypt. All they heard was noise. Moshe Rabbeinu heard the word of God. They just heard noise. So then he says, well, maybe they heard the first two. Now, people just presented what I'm saying now is the only view of the Rambam. Look carefully, he has like two possibilities. Then he says, the first two luchos they heard, because that's an easy proposition. You know, they were able to figure out there is a God, right? And there should not be other gods. But nothing else was heard by the people. Everything was heard by Moshe. So the Ramban screams, you know, bloody murder. How can this be? You have all these, the psukim that talk about how Klal Yisrael heard, you know, what was going on in Har Sinai. So the Rashba says as follows. He says, you can accept the Rambam's view that there are non-negotiable minimum standards to become a Navi, meaning, remember, what does that mean, become a Navi? Non-negotiable minimum standards to receive the divine overflow through the act of intellect. But you can at the same time accept that all Klal Yisrael heard Matan Torah at Har Sinai. How could that be? That seems to be two opposite propositions, right? By definition. So he says, no. God is able to perform miracles. That we accept. So he said, it's a cute answer, God performed a miracle by temporarily raising the intellectual level of all Klal Yisrael. So for that one day at Har Sinai, all Klal Yisrael were geniuses. That, and once that miracle happened, then the overflow was able to be caught by Klal Yisrael. So once you say that, then you could plug that in for a whole, and that exactly why it was only temporary, because that a miracle, you know, again, like the Rambam writes, miracles which are against the course of nature are perforce only temporary. That's why, because Olam can hug a noeg, so you could give like a push, and then nature reasserts itself. That's why right afterwards, all Klal Yisrael reverted to their low intellectual level. But I think that Rashba is a beautiful example how, at a certain point, people try to reconcile opposing views of prophecy and put it all together. So that's the Rashba in Tshuva about Har Sinai, and that could work for Manoach. It could work for other people. Also, by the way, the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, he talks about how before you become a Navi, you have to have a passion for social justice. And that's why he says Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri, because he said he couldn't stand the fact that one of his co-religionists was being struck by that cruel Mitzri, so he had to stand up. So that's also an amazing idea. That again, that's also putting it in a naturalistic vein. In other words, what is a prophet? A prophet starts out with a passion for social justice. Now, of course, if he is he has to be a morally perfect person, not a slave to his passions. He has to be intellectual, you know, perfect also. But it starts with that, you know. So that is, you know, it's. Doesn't end the Tikkun Olam, but in other words, it starts with that idea of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mitzri. Remarkable idea.
We have a soup kitchen here on Sunday.
Okay, right? okay.
Yeah, that's our soup
kitchen. Right. Okay, so we'll stop here, and then tomorrow night, Hashem, we'll pick it up with the Yesod HaShvi'i. Some of these ideas we've seen already in the Rambam's discussion of other Nevi'im. We'll read in the Mishnah Torah how Moshe differs from everybody else. Okay, have a good night.
Okay. Oh.